You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
What we should do is issue currency debt-free and base it on time unit of value, as Ithaca, New York has done for 20 years. It's something that we can do tomorrow. We don't have to wait for a vote. We don't have to wait for our kings. We don't have to be damn slaves anymore. Anymore. Do you hear me? This is the silver bullet to destroy the parasitic systems which have robbed us of our souls, which have robbed us of our will to resist. But I think it's time for the Republic to fight back. Right here, right now.
Right here, right now, you are listening to Mountain Hours Evolution Radio. I'm your host, as always, weekdays from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 1 to 3 o'clock here in the Rocky Mountain Time. And we focus on monetary reform because that is the essential path for emancipation, the essential path to unite the tribes, the essential path where we can unite Tea Party and Occupy, because they can both get what they want. Generally speaking, the Tea Party wants the protection of the non-aggression principle. And generally speaking, the Occupy movement wants to have a social safety net. And we can provide both of those things by using local currency to replace taxes. And Matt, most taxes, you know, meaning the income tax and property taxes, it's really just usury or interest in disguise. So by having a local usury-free currency, we can replace income taxes and property taxes and do it without the violence, do it without the usury, do it without the force, and still we can have a social safety net because as free people, we recognize that it is our responsibility. That's the flip side of the coin to freedom. Freedom doesn't just mean you're free to do whatever. Freedom, absolute freedom, means that we are absolutely responsible. We are not going to allow some third party to be responsible because they never fulfill their role. They use that role in order to steal freedom and destroy responsibility at the same time and build dependence. So today we have a very special guest. That is Jason Bosch from Denver, and he is a political activist who's been active in both the Tea Party and you know, the Green Occupy side, and we're hoping to get some feedback from him as to the viability, how we can unite the factions, how we can bring everybody together, and really start paving the way to bring everyone together to focus on actually problem solving instead of the big blame game. Excuse me. Now, the blame game is very handy for those who seek to divide and conquer the people. But once the people decide that they actually want to fix these things and not scapegoat, we have to recognize that the reason that we're enslaved or we're not living up to our full potential isn't because of other, you know, other debt slaves. It's not because of the 99% other people just like ourselves. It's because of the less than 1%. They have the power to control the media with control of the money. And by doing so, they are able to blame half the people for all the problems and get the other half to blame the rest. We'll be right back with Jason Posh. War for the profit, bombs for the savior, false flags and erratic behavior, water full of chemicals, leaked all the nutrients, fill the sky up with toxic pollutants. Sterilizing the third world, cancerous vaccines, cutting down the populace, all in the name of peace. Money is a form of energy transfer technology which can be used for good or evil. Currently, it is evil because, 1, it is based on a debt with interest which is mathematically unsustainable and results in exponentially compounding debt. 2, the money power is stolen by the parasites and spent by them first instead of the producer. 3, the parasites control its distribution in a top-down system. The currency then flows in economic circuits which support the values of the oligarchy. 4. The parasite purposely expands and contracts the supply to engineer foreclosures, bankruptcies, and loss of sovereignty. Solution? Usury-free local currency energy transfer technology permits the people to harness their own commercial energy. Only then are they sovereign to finance projects which support their values in a sustainable manner. No longer are the people in a condition whereby they are a dog which begs its own fleas for some of its own blood back. MountainHours.com.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing LifeStraw from MyPatriotSupply.com. LifeStraw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. LifeStraw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. LifeStraw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing LifeStraw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tatler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com, for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, hempusa.org brings you a new formulation of microplant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Microplant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, microplant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Surely not to live in pain and fear. It's time to make things better. And we can do that if we cooperate. And we are joined. Our guest this hour is Jason Bosch of Denver. Jason, are you there?
I'm here. How you doing, Wayne?
All right. Excellent. I was hoping that you could start off with a short bio. How did you wake up to the alternative reality, the true reality, not the manufactured ones by that are financed by our controllers?
Well, ever since high school, I've always been kind of political. I used to listen to a lot of political talk radio, but I wasn't really active that much. I was studying film throughout my 20s, and I was trying to come up with a subject for a film, and I'd seen a documentary on Sierra Leone. At the time, this is like 97, 98, there was a major civil war going on there over the diamonds. If you've heard the blood diamonds, you know?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
So I was going to make a documentary about that, but I'm not the greatest fundraiser in the world. So what I did is Human Rights Watch has a film festival that they put on, and I went out to New York and said, hey, I want to show some of these documentaries in Denver. So I've selected 9 films from the Human Rights Watch Film Festival, which included films about Palestine and some different subjects. So in early 2001, I started this film festival, and then all of a sudden 9/11 happened, and it was really timely because one of the films that I had happened to be on, it was a film about emergency, which builds hospitals in war-torn areas, and one of their hospitals was right on near the border between the fighting in Afghanistan between the Northern Alliance and the Taliban. And so there was a lot of interest in my festival all of a sudden because of one of the films that I was showing. And I've just basically, ever since then, I've been showing, I've run a thing called Argus Fest in Denver, showing documentaries, and I've brought in guest speakers. And I've just been, it's been an education for me, and I've also been trying to help educate my community about all sorts of different issues. So I do stuff on human rights, on, you know, the war on drugs, police state, environmental issues. I mean, you know, a whole broad range of issues I've been showing films on. I've literally held hundreds of events in the past 11 years. And in doing so, I've come across a lot of different fragmented groups that are working on various issues. So you'd have people that are working on environmental issues. You have people that are working on the money issue in the Federal Reserve. You have people that are working on ending war, you know, anti-war groups. And so I was able to see in doing this this cross-section of people that are all concerned about what's going on in our world, and some of them with more focus in some areas than others. But it's really been nice to see that there are so many people that are concerned. But one of the things that I've noticed is there is a lot of fragmentation and compartmentalization, and there's not enough communication happening between the groups. So lately what I've been trying to do is figuring out ways to cross-pollinate some of the activities of different people, because I see really good people that sometimes are really aggressive towards each other in their approaches to these problems. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. And the money issue, for the past 3 years, I've been reading everything I can get my hands on regarding money and all, you know, solutions to the money problem. And even there, within the money, issue, there's different factions of people that have different ideas for what their solution are. And again, there's not enough communication. This is still an early field of study, and there's a lot we still need to learn about the issue, and we need to do more communication with one another.
Isn't it, you know, mind-blowing with the technology that we have today that, you know, money's been around, it's one of the first technologies that was ever invented by man, just like the wheel, right? Well, think of how much we've innovated the wheel and made it all sorts of ways with different materials, and we've really refined that technology. But at this state of time, the majority of people have very little knowledge of what money is, who creates it, and how it's a tool of control. And that's one side of it. That's just awareness. And then the other side of it is what should money be, and what is the best type of money in order for it to serve us rather than enslave us. There's nowhere that I know that I could turn on and see a comprehensive debate between the different factions. And it's just amazing to me that somehow we overlook this essential thing.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And I attended there was a conference on public banking out in Philadelphia a few months ago that I attended. And even there, I saw some differences of opinion it seemed like there were some people that didn't want to go there because they're just kind of like they've decided what the solution is, and they feel like they feel threatened even by a discussion. So, but not everyone. I mean, I think that there's there's an opportunity here, and there's some space for this that just needs people to start taking the initiative, and reaching out to maybe reaching out to some of your opponents who are sincere about wanting to solve the problem. Now, I say sincere. There are some people out there that I do not believe are sincere, and I think it's good to be aware of that. I think that there are some people that are intentionally trying to muckrake and divide people. Well, I'm all for muckraking, but the right kind. with the Occupy movement, there are some people there was some activity by certain people that I kind of got the feeling that they might not be sincere players in all of this. In other words, they could be there to intentionally divide people. I can't prove that, but you just see certain activities that are so divisive and so unnecessary.
Well, yeah, that was actually absolutely in play. I saw it firsthand with my fiance, Robin, who actually does the show on Friday. In any case, what was always cool that I noticed that I liked about Occupy, I've organized a lot of In the Fed and Tea Party events, and we went to maybe five or six Occupy events where we spoke, and Occupy was actually a lot more diplomatic and open for more people to speak on the people's mic. Like, anybody pretty much could often speak about three times each event. Alternatively, with Tea Party events, generally it was centralized and they'd have speakers on a stage, and it was control of the microphone was very protected. Nonetheless, at the Occupy event, often when people were trying to have a dialogue between, let's say, some honest libertarians and some honest kind of Green Party people, where you try to open up a dialogue of discussion of the Federal Reserve, what are the best solutions? Well, there'd be like this group of so-called anarchists, and they would just start, like, right when all this was happening, they could speak anytime they wanted, but they would just start doing something like burning a flag. They could do it any time. Like, if the whole event was 3 hours long and the speaking part was a half hour, they would wait until the speakers would start to speak, and they would do it then, just in order to form a distraction. And they would do the same thing with, they would purposely try to create antagonism and theater with the police, rather than it being about opening up discussion. It was about creating theater. And right. It was really obvious. So anyway, I just wanted to reaffirm what you're saying. It's absolutely a slam dunk fact that the establishment finances groups within different factions. I'm not saying the whole factions and all by any means. It's just at any group where there's a large gathering, they don't want discussion and discourse. They want to destroy discourse.
Right. And so part of that actually is, part of it is people that just you know, young kids that are just stupid, and then part of it I think is intentional, like it's you know, being driven from outside. But I also wanted real quick just, you know, in defense of anarchism, because I actually read a lot of anarchist writing and I actually agree with some of it, and just because you're, you know, I think that anarchists get a bad rap because of these you know, people that come and do stupid things. But there's that's not really what anarchism is. If people actually read about the philosophy of anarchism, it doesn't necessarily mean you're disrespectful or you do stupid shit like that, you know. So I just wanted to put that out there. I think anarchism gets a bad rap. You know, people that are breaking windows quite often are police officers, not anarchists.
Yeah, I fully agree. I'm a voluntarist / anarchist, minarchist, somewhere or other in that formula, and ultimately it just means that we're self-government. We don't need fictitious entities in order to give us guidance or something or other. And I think, you know, if you're a statist, the biggest threat to them is anarchist, and they purposely pay them to be violent and disruptive, agent provocateurs. They're not truly anarchists or right. You know, someone that's a voluntarist.
Well, and this so, goes yeah, back if your listeners don't know, but like read about Secco and Vanzetti. You know, they were people that were labeled as anarchists and the so-called bomb throwers. You know, but really what it was about was destroying a movement
exactly.
For workers.
Yeah. We've got a break. We'll be right back.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with 4 of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. Herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Indigenous wisdom, indigenous wisdom, yo, reflections in the light. And I'm glad to be a part of your tribe and see the brilliance of your heart and your mind.
Word up. You know what I'm saying? It's like nothing left to do but come correct. You know what I mean? It's like you can only go crooked for so long before eventually you're gonna come full circle back. Yo, so we getting our warriors, our love soldiers, and whoever really damn. It's a revolutionary stand when we get the people to chant. We get your people to chant.
Love, peace, and revolution. That is the Wandering Monks. Do check them out. And Jason, you had a chance to check them out a little bit last Wednesday at the Mercury Cafe. What did you think?
Yeah, they were great. You know, I wish I was able to see more of them. But yeah, they were amazing. I heard a few of their songs.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Most of my bumpers are their music, and they're out of Denver. So, you know, they're right local, and they're actually having an event tomorrow night. I'll have to put it on my Facebook. It's actually on my Facebook. So I can't remember the name of it right now. Anyway, if you go to Wandering Monks on Facebook, you can see they've got an event planned for Wednesday in Denver, and then one for the following Friday in Boulder at the Shine. So anyway, we were discussing solutions and focused on the monetary issue. Where are you? You went to the event in Philadelphia. I actually had Ellen Brown on yesterday, and their kind of focus is generally to use Federal Reserve notes, but you get state banks created so that they can issue interest-free loans. Is that kind of where you are, your focus is within monetary reform?
No, not really. I mean, I think that might be a nice step in the right direction. I think ultimately, what I think that we need to have is we need to have a diversity of complementary currencies. And I also think it's good to have a national currency for doing, trading between nations or whatever like that. There's a really great book out there that I like called New Money for a New World that talks about, have the partnership between, having a national currency and then it's mostly about complementary currencies like the one that you have. But I'm actually kind of more focused. I think I'm focused on both areas, but as far as like the state banks, I think it's a step in the right direction. But I still think we need to our banks. Our money needs to be interest-free, and it needs to be the Federal Reserve just shouldn't exist, period, I don't know what your view is on like the national currency, but I actually do believe in the commons. There are certain things that are in all of our best interest to go into cooperatively, like our roads and things like that, and I see our money, as well as the internet, by the way. I think the internet should be a commons. I don't think that should be privately owned. At least the lines themselves should be a commons part. That was something that we all use. We all pay equally into, and money is the same thing. That I think that's something that we should have a national money, or at least a state money. But again, there's a lot of things that need to be ironed out here because. So in the book, he talks about resiliency versus. I can't remember, but basically if you have too many, it becomes too complicated. It gets too messy. But if you only have one, it's really resilient. But if something happens to it, we're all screwed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a dichotomy because, whenever there's only one, that means there's centralization of power and typically absolute power corrupts absolutely, and it's something so, it's money. It's half of every exchange. So if the money is corrupted, what my concern with like a centralized system, let's say we had a greenback thing or whatever, ultimately whoever, if you and me are like best friends or whatever, and I'm the guy that's in charge of making decisions as to who is going to get bids for various road projects or whatever kind of projects, whoever knows me best, they kind of have an inside track where
right.
Ultimately all of the energy that funds the money is derived from the people. So I think as local and organic as you can have that power and keeping it distributed is essential. Otherwise you end up with what we've got right now, which is a mess,
Yeah, totally. Well, I think a combination is good. I mean, there are certain benefits to having a national currency, but I don't think that's all we should have.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of, I don't know. It's one of those things I keep, there's the practical matter of the local currency thing we can do right now. We don't have to wait for permission. We are doing it right now.
Right.
I had one of the guys that organized the End of Fed, actually that event that I saw you at last Wednesday, one of the guys that organized it, he was actually up here in Summit yesterday, and he earned money for organizing an End of Fed event, and he came up to Summit County to make a video about him going around spending the local currency that he earned. So this is something that we can put into effect right now without waiting for government or corporations or private banks. So that's a practical matter, is what can we do right now to create progress? Then there's a solution. What are we going to do after we have taken down the power structure? So anyway, we'll be right back.
The Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you a keeper or abolitionist of usury? This is the true debate between debt slaves, which will lead to their emancipation. The parasitic usurers have created many Hegelian dialects, which they remain in control no matter who wins. Example, Coke or Pepsi, Democrat or Republican, progressive or conservative. Here's a good one, gold money or worthless fiat paper. The parasitic usurer can enslave the people on gold, silver, paper, or digital money creation and lending. The parasitic usurer can dominate societies with big government, small government, or even no government. The people can have abundance this year once they realize that usury is the original sin of the world's monetary and economic problems. The real debate is, are you a keeper or abolitionist of the mathematic fraud of usury-based money creation and lending? The emancipation of global debt slaves is the human rights cause of all time. Jubilee 2012 via MountainHours.com. The people are the money. Money is energy transfer technology, which is better than barter. Let's go back to basics to determine what money is. Before money, the people barter their services and products. A perfect barter system is one in which the participants can provide everything they need to sustain life. With this system, they are sovereign and independent. Imagine there are 25 businesses in this perfect barter system. They could get what they needed without the reserve notes and sustain life. The problem with barter is that you need to find a person to have a direct trade with at a precise time. What if each business in the barter network created a $100 gift certificate out of thin air? The barter network could then trade gift certificates as a form of money without having to find a direct part. Paper money does not counterfeit. People counterfeit. Summit County Currency Cooperative is an honest issuer that keeps the quantity of money equal to the capacity of the producers in the network. Don't fall for the Rothschild's gold money disinformation. The elite control gold and silver, and the people will have to borrow it from them with usury. The people are the gold and can create money which makes them sovereign and independent from the parasitic usurers. MountainHours.com. Money is a form of energy transfer technology which can be used for good or evil. Currently, it is evil because 1. It is based on a debt with interest which is mathematically unsustainable and results in exponentially compounding debt. 2. The money power is stolen by the parasites and spent by them first instead of the producer. 3. The parasites control its distribution in a top-down system. The currency then flows in economic circuits which support the values of the oligarchy. 4. The parasite purposely expands and contracts the supply to engineer foreclosures, bankruptcies, and loss of sovereignty. Solution? Usury-free local currency energy transfer technology permits the people to harness their own commercial energy. Only then are they sovereign to finance projects which support their values in a sustainable manner. No longer are the people in a condition whereby they are a dog which begs its own fleas for some of its own blood back.
Supports righteous men. Why did the people invite this man to make newer policies? Somebody help me please understand.
Somebody help me please understand. Way out, and we think we can do it with the local currency. And we are joined with our very special guest and activist, Jason Bosch, and he is from Denver. Can you tell us what is the meaning of Argus? I was curious as to what
Argus is a character from Greek mythology. It was a giant who had 100 eyes, and he could only close 2 of them at once. So Argus means to be very vigilant. Unlike Argus-eyed means to be very vigilant or watchful, like a guardian. And so, like, this, there's two different versions of the story. One was he was beheaded, and it's a longer story, but I won't tell you the whole story. But he was beheaded. One of the stories, his eyes were embedded in the peacock's tail. So you know the feathers? They look like eyes. Those are Argus eyes. So you'll see my logo is a peacock. And then not NBC, though. other one was his eyes became the stars, and he was watching over Io, which was the moon. Anyway, it's a pretty interesting story, but I thought it really represented what I was trying to do, which was kind of be the eyes of the world to, like, let people see what's really going on.
And how you know, how well do you think it would be received to try to implement this, what I was talking about, bringing together the Occupy and Tea Party movement? Can you see a way forward that can be implemented?
I do, but I think some major things need to happen before that happens. One is, I think we need to not get too attached to names like Occupy and Tea Party. Those get co-opted so easy. I mean, on one hand, it's great for promoting, and it kind of gives people a brand to kind of, oh yeah, I agree with that. But it's just, it seems like those things can be co-opted so easily. So I think about Occupy or also the Tea Party. I mean, I know the Tea Party's been heavily co-opted by corporations, you know, using the name Tea Party, you know, and I'm all constantly telling my liberal friends, like, that, hey, you know, the initial Tea Party actually came from, you know, people that were just concerned about the police state and concerned about our money, and, you know, they were more libertarians. The other thing that needs to happen is we need to start talking to each other and listening to each other, it respectfully, even if we disagree. There's no communication that's going on, and there's a lot of name calling, you know, between people who are genuine and actually want to create change. There's a guy by the name of Marshall Rosenberg. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he teaches nonviolent communication. I actually think this is really crucial for all of us activists to learn a way to communicate with each other. The only frustration about this guy is he talks a little bit like Mr. Rogers. You know, the way he presents the material is kind of annoying, but what he's saying is actually really dead on in terms of, you know, if we can't communicate, we can't get anywhere. And we the way we communicate is where we put the other people on defense rather than stopping and listening to what it is we have to say. So I see that happening on both sides. I see that happening on the quote-unquote Occupy side or the Tea Party side. But, you know, I see different people in all sorts of different groups doing the same thing. And it's unfortunate. The nice thing about the money thing is I do think this is an issue that really can bring everyone together, because I talk to people, even, you know, mainstream Republicans, and I can talk to them about the issues and they'll get it, you know. So it doesn't matter where you stand politically. If it's presented in the right way, this is an issue that pretty much everyone can come together on.
Yeah, that's what I've found. What I like about, you know, pitching the local currency is I purposely, when, you know, I obviously the show's very political, but, you know, we respect patriots in the form of Occupy, Tea Party, Ron Paul, Voluntarists, End the Fetters, 9/11 Truthers, whatever. And we're all on our journey. And it's one of those things that, if we really focus on the money, as long as people use it, we don't really have to make sure that they're awake. And by have them just, you know, go local, buy local, lots of people, you know, most people support local self-sufficiency. So people value that. And if we can just have them use the local currency, we never have to talk to them about politics or any of the divisive stuff. So right. we can get everybody doing the right thing, and once we remove our power from their monetary system, whether it's the Federal Reserve or the gold or silver system, once we're out of their control commodities or their control Federal Reserve system, in either instance, it allows us to create self-sufficiency, so we're able to create a future of abundance without dependence upon their systems.
Right. In fact, there's the danger in dismantling a system without having something to replace it with. And so, you know, I'm really inspired by what you're doing and what other people are doing in terms of urban farming and all kinds of stuff that are going on there to help, you know, just to work on creating an alternative, which I think is actually more important than even attacking the system as it is. So, yeah.
I think we were talking about, you know, getting together and getting a group together, like a focus group of, let's say it was six people from Occupy and six from Tea Party, hypothetically. And let's see, just on a small basis, if we can talk to them about the issues and then have them leave with an action plan that they could unite under. Does that seem like that would be something of interest to you?
Yeah, actually, and I've had experiences with these sorts of efforts. Several years ago, I can't remember the guy's name, but there's a guy that started a new party called the Transpartisan. It wasn't a new party, but he had a conference in Denver called the Transpartisan Alliance Conference, and that was the whole point, is to get you know, the people from the left and the right to come together and communicate. And it was a really great weekend, and it went really well, and I think everyone that walked away from it came from a better understanding of different people's perspectives, I've seen this, and it can work, you know, if people come together, for sure.
Well, how was that structured? How many people attended, and you know, can you tell us?
I would say there was maybe 100 people, totally, and then they had speakers, and then they kept breaking up into like work groups. So people would write down, you know, what are the issues that you're concerned with, and they would create a list, and then they would break up into work groups to talk about those issues. There were some things that I think I would have done differently. In other words, they kind of allowed the crowd to kind of break off into their own groups, which people are obviously going to go off into the groups that they're more interested in. But I think as an organizer, I would have actually kind of forced interaction between people who disagree more. I would have actually implemented that a little bit better. But it was a really great event, and I think that everyone got a lot out of it.
I filmed it for them, but
I gave them the footage. I don't know what they ever did with that, actually.
Was there a goal specifically? It's just basically to learn communications one level, but then there's a whole, hey, what is our action plan? Things are a mess. What is the root cause? Let's focus on it.
There was a goal. I kind of don't know what happened to it. they did come up with, like, these are the issues that matters to us most. But there wasn't any, that I know of, any follow-up after the event.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even remember what the issues were that were decided. This was like maybe three or four years ago.
Yeah. It's one of those things that I think that's really like our next step, because I really think that using the local currency, we can remove the violence of that offends libertarians or voluntarists, and replace taxes with newly created currency. So that allows for the funding of social programs that support what is of value to, you know, generally people from Occupy and let's say the Green Party. What would you say the top three issues are for Green Party people?
Right. Well, I'm not really a Green Party member, although I've been supportive and helping out with Sherry Honkeler, who's the vice president nominee. I actually ran a campaign for her. She ran for sheriff last year in Philadelphia with a zero evictions platform, basically saying if she got elected, she was going to refuse to throw families out of their homes. So that's how I got involved with the Green Party. I've never really been like a member of any party, and I never will be. I'm more about the issues.
Let me stop you on that while you're on that topic. Was the basis for blocking the foreclosures, because I believe it's valid, but there's different reasons people give for that. But I believe that every contract based upon usury is set up on a scheme where it's impossible for all the borrowers to pay. Was she blocking intending to block those foreclosures on the basis of interest, or was it just we shouldn't be, just as a, more of a like a spiritual reason, not a mathematic reason per se, just helping the poor or something along those lines?
Well, she was mainly doing it because she's working on the front lines, and she's a formerly homeless mother, and she's been working with families that are being thrown out of the street. So she was doing it primarily from just seeing all these people who can't survive and are being thrown out on the streets. I was involved with it because of that as well, but also because I like you, see that this whole thing is a big Ponzi scheme. First of all, the banks don't really put up any collateral themselves. They, put numbers into a computer, and then they charge you interest. You're right. There's no way you can pause. The game is rigged that there's going to be losers, period. There's no matter how hard people try, there are going to be losers in this game. And so I'm looking at it from both angles. Sherry's mostly primarily focused on just the people that she works with, that are being thrown out on the streets. She's constantly doing demonstrations and things like that to, fight the banks. But I think we need a broader analysis of what's going on, and there needs to be a lot of education to happen so people realize that this isn't just a moral issue of throwing families out of their homes. This is, like you said, a mathematical problem, which is unsolvable mathematically within the current paradigm.
Yeah, what's powerful is when you, just as you're saying, when you come at this from a humanitarian standpoint, that kind of appeals to generally people on the left, just generally they think, their compassion, the compassion idea. But then when you bring, generally people from the right think of themselves as being more about being rational, and we need to have this system of accountability and all of this contract. You had a contract, you need to pay. The problem is those contracts are based upon a fraud. So mathematically speaking, it's impossible for all of the borrowers to pay. So I think it's important to come from both directions to show that the system is completely corrupt with respect to the humanitarian issue and with respect to the contractual issue, that those contracts are void because it's impossible for all of the people in that system, just like a Ponzi scheme, it's impossible for all the participants in a Ponzi scheme to go without being victimized. It's the same thing.
Well, that's where I think the education needs to come in, because I think, like I said, the people on the left don't really understand the banking system and what a fraud it really is. I mean, they see the bailouts and they see that as unfair and all of that, but I don't think they really understand how it really works. And then the people on the more libertarian right side of things, there's a lot of blaming poor people, yet at the same time they understand what a fraud the system is. So it's just like, getting people to understand, because I'm very compassionate for people that are, the desperately poor in this country, and I understand that it's, not entirely their fault. People want to just sit there and point the finger, but we're all competing in this ridiculous game that is literally built into its DNA are a certain percentage of losers, no matter how hard you try. So people say, oh, you need to just go get a job and, pull yourself up by the bootstraps. Well, what we need to do is we need to have a conversation that acknowledges, what's going on all sides. And I think that it shouldn't be that difficult to bring everyone together if we just do it in a respectful manner of acknowledging each other's perspectives. But at the same time, we're still talking about the same thing here.
Yeah, it's one of those things that sometimes in describing it, it's confusing. But then when you talk about a system that doesn't victimize people and you explain it, then it just shows you like, okay, we've got this private bank that we has a monopoly that's centralized. And for some reason, they get to take our energy and create money. even though right. their money would have no value without us. So the alternative to that is local currency that literally you could create the currency yourself. You could, Jason Bosch is good for, your currency, your expertise. It sounds like organizing events, maybe that's, so that's like your, if money wasn't an issue, what would you do for a living right now?
Well, I'd be doing the same thing, working to help educate people and trying to bring people together in discussion and whatnot.
And think of it, that should be one of the highest, in an honest money system, the people that make the most money should be the ones who unite humanity and explain how the system is corrupt and that emancipate people and create unity. Those should be the highest paid people rather than athletes, entertainers, politicians, and private bankers.
Right. Well, but at the same time, like, here's my leftist side coming out. I see someone that comes in and works their ass off to clean an office building or, clean toilets as being just as important as the work that I do, because without that, there's not sanitation and people get sick or, It's all about perspective. I don't see the work that I do. If you're doing what you love, but there's a lot of, I guess I'm saying I don't really necessarily want to be paid for. I just want to be able to make a living and do what I'm passionate about. I think that's probably most people. Most people are not, I'm not in this, in a greedy sense necessarily. I want to do what I care about, and I think that we have a system that doesn't reward the things that
sounds
I value
good. I agree 100%. We'll be right back with Jason Bosch.
How would you like to own land? A refuge to escape from big cities, possible food shortages, the collapse of the dollar, or just a vacation trip is now available to you. Lots of fishing and hunting are available just across the Rio Grande River. Own your personal Colorado Wilderness RV lot within three stones' throw of the Rio Grande River for $1,395. Quarter acre lots, county road access. All lots come with warranty deed, all just for $1,395. Call 785-672-3141, 785-672-3141, or go online to coloradoriverlots.com for more information and to see photos. It is away from civilization, a good business investment, and a low-cost protection plan. Call today, 785-672-3141.
An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available to be shipped out to you, rush delivery. Heart and Body Extract is a 100% natural, organic, and wild-crafted formula made out of garlic, hawthorn berries, hawthorn leaves, coleus, motherwort, bilberry, butcher's broom kelp, mistletoe, ginger, and cayenne pepper. It is an excellent formula designed to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Order your 2-month supply by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Take the high road to a long and happy life. Heartandbody.com. Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE and colloidal silver, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system, and fire piston, or just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today. Toll free 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Call now 800-537-1339.
what should be the proper relationship between a chairman of the Fed and a president of the United States?
Well, first of all, the Federal Reserve is an independent agency, and that means basically that there is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take.
That was former Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan indicating that the bankers, the private bankers, are the sovereigns. The governments have no capacity to overrule actions that they take. So, all right, Jason, we were talking about how we can unite Tea Party and Occupy. What would you say if you could save the world? What would you, by creating this unity, what would you say the first necessary step is, like as an action plan, like one steps 1 through 5?
Well, I think we need to change our money system, and I think promoting complementary currencies is a huge one. I also think, you know, continuing, the first step I think is still continuing to build bridges and to educate one another. I see that as the first step, because nothing else can happen without that first step. So once someone gets aware of what's going on, I think the first thing they should do is to continue to help make others aware of what's going on. Because unless we reach a critical mass, it's going to be very difficult. But I also think simultaneously you're working to create, you know, alternative currencies, working to remove yourself from the system in terms of giving who you give your money to, you know, shopping locally, reducing consumption, because we're all, you know, the libertarians complain about government, but my argument is everything the government does that's, you know, not in the interest of the people is typically done at the behest of corporate, you know, the corporate power. And yet we're all contributing. We all participate. We all feed this corporate beast. So just being conscious of that and trying to reduce that as much as possible, and then giving your money to where you, you know, you want to do it. But I think what you're doing is awesome, the creating alternative money.
Yeah, we're going to be shortly, in a matter of a couple days here, milehighhours.com for Denver is going to be started. And, you know, mountain hours here from Summit can be spent within the Mile High Hour system. So these hours system have common denominator of unskilled labor for 1 hour. So somebody who mows grass or whatever, rakes leaves, they would be compensated 1 hour per hour. And that actually gives them a bump in pay, because that's equivalent to 10 Federal Reserve notes. And it allows for them to shop somewhere other than Walmart, because it's definitely more expensive to shop for organic products and services and food and those sorts of things. So that's, in effect, if you're only just making minimum wage of whatever, $7.50 an hour, it makes it very difficult for you to try to shop locally, even if you wanted to.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people's buy-in to the system is kind of out of necessity, really.
Yeah, it's you know, you think about it, like you know, generally, like I think the mainstream media, they're constantly talking about inflation as a result of overproduction of Federal Reserve notes, and I really don't think that's the case at all, because most people I know, they don't have enough Federal Reserve notes. So it's not right. Like we're drowning in them.
And most of the Federal Reserve notes aren't even being put into circulation. They're going to, you know, all this quantitative easing. They're going to other banks. And it's not like the money's being put in. It's not like the money's getting into the hands of people that will actually spend it.
Right. Engineered scarcity. We'll be right back.